welcome to everybody. I've just heard in passing that the deputy minister was moving up and down the list. At least here in Parliament, not moving up and down in courts. So we all welcome into this meeting, and we welcome the Deputy Minister who's always with us in our committee meetings and the other officials from the department. As a procedure, I am Dumisani Kamete, chairing the select committee. I will ask, because on cooperatives, it's the first time that we have such a thorough and in-depth briefing, and we haven't met for some time, that we introduce ourselves. From my left, going down.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Chair. My name is Freddy Adams. I'm a permanent delegate of the Western Cape.
Morning, everybody. My name is Jomo Nyambi. I'm a permanent delegate, member of this committee.
I'm going into this,
the
Deputy Minister. Good morning, everybody. My name is Ashley, and I'm the Chief Officer of the Department of Health.
Good morning, my name is Agnes Matarayani. I'm the Chief Operations Director of the EED Division and the DTI.
Good morning, I'm Kathy, and this family of the Office of the Civil Service.
My name is Bafunani Karan.
Good morning, I'm Elf Leeds from KZN. Late, my apologies, Mr. Chairman. Sorry, am I being rude?
Good morning,
Good morning, everyone. My name is Rebecca Mtulane. I'm the committee secretary for this committee.
Thanks. As a way of moving on, I'll ask the deputy minister, as the political head, to lead and would guide us on how we'll do the presentation. Deputy minister.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I've brought with me two people from the department. They will be presenting the cooperative strategy. But before they do that, I'd like to say just a few words of introduction so that we get clarity on what we are all in, everything is all about. We are talking about economic transformation. My question would be, do we move the people to the economy, or do we move the economy to the people in the rural area? That's the question that we all must answer. We know, all of us, that people are migrating from the rural areas to the cities. In look for greener pastures now. The question would be, are we going to move the economy to the people, or are we going to move the people to the economy? Now, if we can answer that question, all of us really would have a way of dealing with the question itself. Now, in relation to economic development in the country, we have done a lot on policy and on support agencies, talking about all our strategies, all our policies, and almost the best in the world. All our policies are almost the best in the world. our agencies are also geared towards creating vibrant entrepreneurs. But we are faced with challenges, and those challenges are implementation. We might have good policies, we might have all the agencies that we are having, but when it comes to implementation, I think we are having a problem. We are also having problems of finances for new entrances, SMEs and co-ops. Skills development, we have failed on that one as well. When it comes to skilling our people, our teachers are also failing us. Our colleges, our universities, because you can create a graduate, but that graduate will never be an entrepreneur. You still need to create an entrepreneur. And we also look into the issue of procurement, creating a market for our small business people and previously disadvantaged entrepreneurs. We also face the land issue, availability of that resource, water accessibility, and infrastructure, especially in the rural areas. When you talk about electricity, telephones, transport, and other economic assets. And the biggest enemy of ours is commitment. If people are not committed in doing business, and if the leaders in business are also not committed in developing people, then we are going nowhere. And the second last one would be the handouts. We have got too many grants in our country. We need to encourage people to do things for themselves rather than relying on grants and handouts. And we're talking about entrepreneur training, apprenticeship, what the Africana people used to call Ambach Wale. So if we can also be able to achieve that, we'll go a long way. We are more of office people than going out there where the people needs are. How do we instill that culture of working with the people? That's another question that we must answer. Because sitting in the office, I definitely won't be able to do my work outside, because the work is done where the people are. So we are more of office people than going out. This relates to everybody, not just the ruling party. I would like to see even the opposition parties going with me out there, meeting the people, seeing the people's needs, and analyzing what we can do together. And we are more of having that mentality of working in silos. National government is working alone, provinces and local government, and also our institutions, our agencies, they all work in silos. If we can have that spirit of working together, we are getting somewhere. And there's also this issue of institutional transformation, especially the financial institutions. Our financial institutions are really not are giving us a disservice. Now, on ownership, owning the means of production is also another challenge, especially when you go to rural areas and when you go to areas where there are more previously disadvantaged people that need to get into the mainstream of the economy. Our FDIs, we have a number of FDIs. If I can count, they can come up to 10. We've got Kula, IDC, Land Bank, SAMAF, NEF, IPC, and MAFISA, Post Bank, the Lottery, and Citibank. All these are working in silos. They are not talking to each other. And if they are not talking to each other, I don't think they'll be able to do the work. And secondly, apart from working in silos, the money is allocated to them. You'll find that in most cases, about 30 to 45% goes to the actual contest, but the bulk of the money goes to salaries, transport, administration, and so on. And that must change. I don't want to go to other things. Now, we need to have a transformation vision where we say this previously disadvantaged people should be enabled to do something for themselves rather than rely on grants and so on. So when it comes to cooperatives now, I think not to waste a lot of time, I won't go into the presentation itself. I'll ask my two assistants to take over and present the cooperative strategy committee. But in short, those are the things that I think in my mind, if we can be able to find a way on how to implement what we have on paper, that will assist us a lot, all of us, because we cannot carry on paperwork. It will never be implemented. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. To all the members present, I'm going to be making the presentation. As I'm from the cooperative unit of the Department of Trade and Industry, my presentation is going to just give a little bit of background information on why the need for cooperatives in the economy, the status of cooperatives to date, just a provincial breakdown in terms of where the cooperatives are located, as well as a sectoral breakdown, what the national departments and support agencies are doing for cooperatives to date, the provincial support, the challenges that we have, the way forward in order to address those challenges. That will give you an overview and a sense of where we are in terms of the development. As we've seen, the development of cooperatives has been identified as a critical and viable means to alleviate poverty in its sense of what cooperatives are aimed to achieve from the perspective of being collective as well as addressing economic development. Cabinet approved the new mandate for cooperative development, which transferred cooperatives from the Department of Agriculture to the Department of Trade and Industry. And in 2002, South Africa became the signatory to the International Labour Organization's Recommendation 193, which takes into account the international guidelines as well as the principles by which cooperatives need to be administered from a global perspective as well as from a country perspective. In 2004, the National Cooperative Development Policy was developed and adopted by the Minister of Trade and Industry, which laid the basis for the development of the cooperative legislation, strategy, and the support intervention. In 2005, the Cooperative Development Act was promulgated by Cabinet and subsequently effected by the President in 2007. And the Cooperative Act creates and provides a clear strategic approach of government with respect to cooperative development, specifically indicating this task as a shared competency that national, provincial, and local government needs to be involved in from a policy to an implementation perspective. The DTI is expected to play the leadership role and facilitate effective coordination as well as reporting on the development of cooperatives for the whole economy. And through some of the mechanisms that have been introduced through the Act, certainly wanting to make registration process and the management of cooperatives more effective and simpler, and ensure that there are institutional mechanisms through support programs by all spheres of government, and certainly wanting to promote equity, broader participation, specifically of the targeted groups being women, youth, and women. Currently, as it stands, the Cooperatives Act is being amended. The amendment cooperative bill consultations have taken place, and the bill is being submitted to Cabinet and Parliament for principal approval. Together with that, we've also completed the cooperative strategy, which also seeks to enhance support programs and institutional capacity and developing cooperatives. It's been completed. The process of going through the necessary approvals has also been completed, and is ready to be submitted to Cabinet for approval as well. What the DTI has also done is to assist National Treasury to develop a position paper on enhancing cooperative taxation. It's been completed, and it's handed over to National Treasury to take the lead in taking that process forward in terms of amending the Income Tax Act with respect to cooperatives. With the DTI being the custodian of the cooperative program, it's also in its responsibility of enhancing coordination and cooperation, as well as looking at the shared competency of the three tiers of government. It's established committees, and this is the interprovincial committee as well as the interdepartmental committee, represented by all nine provinces, as well as the interdepartmental, which looks at about 12 national departments represented on this committee to look at strengthening and coordinating cooperative development activities and programs with these provincial and national departments. These particular forums meet on a quarterly basis, holding four meetings a year, by which we then collate the information provided by the respective departments and the interdepartmental departments to look at the progress as well as the challenges, and to look at what programs they have in place on cooperatives within their respective provinces as well as departments nationally. When we look at the status of cooperatives, we have CIPRO, which registers all forms of cooperatives and all forms of enterprises. We have the Registrar for Cooperatives that looks at this particular data in terms of registration. What we try to do here is to also have a progression to date of the number of cooperatives that have been registered. And as you can see, to date, we have a total of 22,030 registered cooperatives in our registrar's database. Certainly factors that have contributed to the high numbers in terms of registration between 2005 to 2009 was one, the creation of the enabling environment through the Cooperatives Act and the policy, and certainly provisions of financial assistance such as grant funding from the Cooperatives Incentive Scheme, as well as funding from some of the agencies within the provinces like Itala, Lipsa, Mega, Vedo, two cooperatives. Certainly another area which is also provision of procurement opportunities, even though currently in its infancy stages, that certainly has led to an increase in the number of cooperatives registered. What we've also done is a baseline study, and from the baseline study, it has come up with the finding that even though there are a registered number of 22,030 cooperatives, approximately 2,644 seem to be economically operating. During the 2009-10 year, only 132 cooperatives have complied with the requirement of submitting their financial statements to CIPRO. We find that this particular provincial breakdown of cooperatives as per the data in the CIPRO register basically looks at the national picture of surviving cooperatives, the number of cooperatives that are inactive, or not operating anymore, certainly the survival rate being 12% nationally, with a mortality rate nationally across the provinces of 88%. When we look at the sector breakdown according to cooperatives, according to the baseline study, we find that we find that the leading sector is in the food and agriculture, certainly followed by other sectors such as services, construction, textile, multi-purpose manufacturing, certainly very few in the mining, consumer, recycling and waste management, but focusing on approximately about 14 to 15 sectors across the economy. This is just a breakdown in terms of GDP contribution according to the cooperatives that have complied this year with submitting their annual financial statements. We find that most of the cooperatives that have submitted are in the sector of agriculture and in the sector of trading, and approximately 12 billion in terms of turnover contributes towards the country's GDP, specifically in the 2009. In terms of the amendments, certainly what I will take you through is also the challenges, but in order to be able to address the challenges and the number of cooperatives that have become ineffective and inactive, the cooperative strategy and the bill are proposing the establishment of new institutional capacity to improve not just efficiency in the provision of support services, but to also create sustainable enterprises going forward. And what we've requested is the establishment of the Cooperative Development Agency, which would look at a one-stop-shop type of approach to the provision of increased financial and non-financial support. Because training and skills has been regarded as one of the very big challenges, as the Deputy Minister has indicated, we've also said the establishment of a cooperative academy, and this is through the provision of increased education and training support services, not just to the cooperatives, but to the cooperative members, to the officials within national, provincial, and local governments as well, to be able to have and appreciate and have a full understanding of how to operate cooperatives, as well as have an understanding of what cooperatives are all about. Another challenge that is being faced currently by a number of cooperatives is the conflict within the cooperatives itself and among cooperative members. And to be able to address this challenge, we say, let's look at the establishment of a cooperative tribunal, which would look at the provision of compliance and enforcement of the Cooperatives Act, looking at conflict resolution support services, as well as arbitration. And this will also help the registrar of cooperatives to also be able to deal with the information as and when required relating to compliance issues. The other institutional mechanism that we would like to put in place is the establishment of the Cooperative Council, and this council will be able to advise the minister on how to develop further the area of cooperatives, recommend policy improvements, and lobby all tiers of government on cooperative development. We also find that the Cooperative Bank Act builds on the foundation for the establishment of the Cooperative Bank Agency, whose task is to regulate and support the development of cooperative banks, which is led by National Treasury. The agency has already been established and is building on capacity within the agency to undertake their role in the transformation. When we look at the provision of access to markets to cooperatives in South Africa, especially by the Department of the Trading Industry, from a perspective of the cooperative unit, this is what we've done to date. In 2004, we undertook research, a scoping report of 100 cooperatives to identify their needs. In 2005, an analytical report on cooperatives was undertaken in 5 provinces. 2008, there were an international labor organization that held cooperative workshops with the various stakeholders, and certainly the start of accessing cooperatives to international exhibitions. We then also celebrated the International Cooperative Day, which is bringing together cooperatives nationally from the various provinces to be able to share experiences as well as use that platform as a learning experience in developing cooperatives further, and attended the Inter-Ministerial Conference on Cooperatives in Kenya. We also had a number of other international exhibitions and workshops, and we continue to expand on that outreach and communications program by not only providing information to cooperatives across the country at national, provincial, and local level, but also to be able to give access to cooperatives to participate in international exhibitions as well as local exhibitions through the Department of Trade and Industry platform. We also undertook the baseline study report in 2009, which revealed the 2,644 cooperatives that are currently operating in the economy. When we look at the provincial strategies for cooperatives, currently the provinces are all busy with the development of their cooperative strategy. They have been provided with the Cooperative Amendment Bill, as well as the draft strategy to look at aligning their strategies. And what we've seen is three provinces have already finalized their strategies. It's been approved, and they're already implementing, which is in Mpumalanga, Eastern Cape, and Limpopo. Five provinces have drafted their strategies and are awaiting final approval. And then the one province which has drafted its terms of reference and is accessing a service provider to assist with the development of their provincial strategy. When we look at the support that we have through our various agencies as well as various divisions within the department to assist cooperatives financially and non-financially, we have the Cooperative Incentive Scheme, which is administered by the Enterprise Organization. And to date, we have dispersed 61 million, benefiting 311 cooperatives countrywide. The estimated number of jobs created is 1,555, and there's 16 officials employed by the Cooperative Incentive Scheme Directorate. The budget for this year is 41 million, and certainly through the Cooperative Incentive Scheme, it works on a 90-10 sharing scheme where 10% needs to be contributed by the cooperative and 90% of the grant provided by the department to a maximum value of 300,000. We also have the South African Micro Apex Fund, which is SEMAC, which provides assistance to financial cooperatives that are registering. To date, the amount dispersed is 10 million, and they have assisted 40 financial services cooperatives. But since the time of inception to date, they have dispersed an amount of 51.6 million. They also have assisted small businesses through your micro lending institutions. Then we come to the non-financial support, which is provided through the Small Enterprise Development Agency, which is known as CEDA. CEDA has a footprint in all the provinces, and they generally provide assistance through providing help in the form of business plan writing, feasibility studies, training for cooperatives and small businesses, as well as developing specific interventions to be able to assist cooperatives depending on their needs, undertaking a needs assessment with cooperatives as well. When it comes to the youth, the National Youth Development Agencies also has and are developing their particular strategy in supporting co-ops. They have dispersed $10 million in the 2009 financial year, where they've assisted 150 youth co-ops to provide approximately 600 jobs. They do this through their finance of loans to youth cooperatives, as well as through their business development services, which accesses a voucher scheme, and then taken to a service provider to provide assistance through non-financial support and training to youth cooperatives. We also have the developmental financial institutions, such as your National Empowerment Fund, which in the past has assisted nine cooperatives loan through their loan products. They're currently working on a new project in Mpumalanga. It's going through a process of being approved, and they're also working on their strategy on how they're going to make a footprint in other provinces We then have also focused on just what the other national departments have in terms of their programs to be able to assist cooperatives. And these are some of the departments that are part of our interdepartmental task committee that also meets quarterly. Department of Agriculture, through its MAFISA program, has provided financial support and non-financial support specifically in the area of cooperatives that deal with agriculture. They've also launched a national reporting system, an IT system which they've developed to monitor and track agricultural cooperatives, and they're currently looking at developing a program for procurement within their department. Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs, which is now currently known as Cooperative Governance, they also are developing a strategy. They don't have a dedicated program towards cooperatives, but they have developed a concept paper that is currently with the minister for approval. Once that gets approved, they will then develop an awareness program and a program of action to see how they can assist with cooperatives. Minerals and Energy, they have supported cooperatives, but they're currently reviewing their strategy on their integrated energy centers to look at how they can better develop the cooperatives that are already involved in their energy centers to become further sustainable. Arts and Culture, they have a program called Investing in Culture. So if there are companies or cooperatives that are in the entertainment, music, arts, handicrafts, they have a specific program assisting financially and non-financially cooperatives in that particular area to be able to assist them with financial support and also with training. The Department of Public Works, they have now embarked on a procurement project, a high-impact project that they're looking at currently. And the contracts are in the cleaning and gardening sector, the environment, and the school nutrition, and they have dispersed 11.1 million to 11 cooperatives. They're looking at reviewing that and to be able to access that even better with a number of other projects that they're looking at developing at a provincial level as well. Department of Labor, Skills and Development, which was under their particular jurisdiction, has now moved to the Department of Higher Education. They've assisted 367 cooperatives financially in the form of training, and they're now currently also working on the legislation and strategy on worker cooperatives. They've just identified the service provider to assist them with that strategy development. National Treasury, which has developed the Cooperative Bank Act, has developed also a Cooperative Bank Development Agency. They're currently in the process of designing support programs, and they started to accept applications for cooperative bank registration. They're building their capacity within their agency itself, and they've just undertaken a baseline study. In terms of social development, they have a poverty relief project, and they currently have that intake and are helping, especially with social funds, to cooperatives that assist in the elderly care, frail care, nutrition programs, as well as some sectors that have been identified for specific targets and assistance. We then go on to the provincial department. Certainly with the KZN, they have, through the Itala Bank, have dispersed loans, as well as they're looking at further procurement opportunities. They also have been involved with Kenya in terms of training officials and having a program, an exchange program, and the Office of the Premier is now championing the One Home, One Garden program, and also looking at ways of developing further cooperative development. In Kaohsiung, they have, through the Department of Economic Development, they have the agency, which is the Kaohsiung Economic Propeller, which provides non-financial support. They're also looking at procurement opportunities through the hospitals, as well as social development to be able to provide procurement opportunities to a number of cooperatives. Thus far, they have non-financial support of 1.25 million, and they've assisted 968 cooperatives with training as well as facilitation of cooperatives with registration. I should just mention some of the provinces do have memorandums of understanding with CIPCO as well as with the cooperatives in Central States. When it comes to the Northern Cape, they have also provided facilitation support to cooperatives, and certainly in the sectors of mining, farming, textiles, energy, and the creative industries. Northwest is certainly looking at mega projects, whereby we're supporting specific projects with high impact, and also supporting through the non-financial support, whereby they're assisting with the cooperative incentive scheme funding and awareness sessions. And the sectors that have been identified is agriculture, services, and clothing and textiles. Eastern Cape, they've also assisting through their agencies, as well as now just developed financial type of support through the Bamba Co-op Fund, which has a 50 million budget. 19 million has been disbursed. They're looking at furthering their marketing and communication within the region, and also looking at developing a strategic framework to look at procurement opportunities. The Free State, they're also looking at assisting three special projects, certainly in the areas of poultry, fish breeding, and bricklaying. And their non-financial support is through assisting and facilitating the registration of cooperatives to assist their departments in the province of education in the nutrition program. They are now going to be utilizing the cooperatives that they've assisted in registering to see how they can also secure and have procurement projects and contracts for the next 3 years. In Mpumalanga, is through MEGA that they assist financially, as well as through the department, through the non-financial support. They're also looking at procurement opportunities and are busy developing a strategic framework in that regard. In terms of Limpopo, most of their financial support comes through the agency of LIPSA, but they're also providing non-financial support and facilitating of CIS funding as well as CIPCO registration of new cooperatives. The Western Cape, through their Red Door, they're providing assistance in terms of financial support, and through their partnership with the Development Bank of Southern Africa, through a voucher system, they've been able to assist cooperatives financially as well as non-financial support in the form of training and awareness programs. In terms of challenges, what we are finding is that even though the support to cooperatives is provided by the provinces as well as other national departments, we find that it is at insufficient levels to make the substantial required impact. National and provincial departments have started to seriously support cooperatives in their sphere of influence. However, we find that more support is still required. A few municipalities in the provinces have also started to contribute to the task of supporting cooperatives, but these areas require further attention and strengthening. Currently, we have a weak APEX movement structure, and we're looking at reviewing that particular structure as well as looking at how to strengthen the support that we provide to the APEX movement, as well as looking at what the role of that APEX movement is going to be. We also find that officials at all tiers of government and private sector have a limited understanding of cooperatives as a form of business, and this certainly affects the support and the development of cooperatives. And we find that institutional capacity to deliver on co-ops remains inadequate. And so this is certainly something that requires urgent resolution. Consultations and responses to requests for information from national, provincial, and local levels take much longer than expected at points in time where we don't necessarily get the information that we do require. That's impacting on reporting and the delivery of reporting. And certainly in some of the provinces, we don't have dedicated support for cooperatives small businesses, lack economic empowerment, so making inadequate human and provisional financial resources also limiting implementation. As a way forward, certainly from 2005 to 2009, if you add up all the amounts that have been dispersed thus far, approximately $1 billion has been spent on cooperatives through the national departments, albeit not all, and the provincial departments of economic development. However, a lot more is required in the future, and this requires a strengthening of capacity of the DTI to deliver and lead on the development and support for cooperatives so that we can increase output and impact, and certainly the strengthening of the capacity of the existing coordination committees at a provincial and local level. Clear reporting of progress needs to be emphasized in the committees, as well as be encouraged that provinces play a more active role. And the amendment of the Cooperatives Act, which we've said, in order to be able to address these challenges and to have a bigger and more high impact, is to establish the Cooperative Development Agency, which will provide financial and non-financial support in a one-stop-shop type of environment, manage a cooperative development fund, and assist with compliance of training and registration. The establishment of a cooperative academy to deal with standards in education and training, and then to establish the cooperative tribunal to deal with conflict resolution, investigations, proactive inspections, and enforcement of legislation. And it will also assist with the compliance with the Cooperatives Act and assist the registrar with the task of updating statistics, assistance with the winding up, re-registrations, and liquidations. And this is very important because we find that provinces and local governments need to take a more active leading role in terms of implementing agents in the form of support and the development of cooperatives to be able to work collaboratively and in partnership. And that brings me to the end of the presentation.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks very much, Deputy Minister and the presenter. Honorable members, the floor is now yours for your questions, comments, and even suggestions.
Most suggestions
is possible. I see Honorable Mguni, Honorable Nyambi, Honorable Lees, in that order.
Thank you, Chair. I think the presentation gave us a clear idea of what is in the province as far as the calls are concerned, as far as your creation is concerned, and empowerment is concerned. What is striking to me is that there's a high mortality rate. Why is my time of intervention? It's up to 80, 90, 70% of the reason in co-ops are failing. My second question is on the challenges. You're saying that there's not enough institutional support to co-ops, and yet on the other side, we've got a lot of education inside of the city. We've got the CEDARS, we've got the enterprise development agencies, but also that in my view, some of them actually are not functioning, CEDARS are not functioning. Why don't we actually look at changing the mindset of the institutions and like putting more money into agencies that are going to support the resources of the community, but also those resources, it ends up not in the in paying salaries and offices and stuff like that. My last question is on the developmental finance institution. I've seen there one co-op has loaned money at the prime rate. If you want to those co-ops develop, why are we letting them money for these institutions? Give the co-ops money at the prime rate, why should be prime minus the rate? Because we know that most of the names, as the presentation says, are 2 or 3 years old. as you said, the profession, there's still a lot of people who don't know about costs and how they function in officials. A country perhaps not be a bit lenient, not say lenient, but be have a foresight that they will intend to grow and be able to become but the country be a bit conservative in the bottom line.
No, Liambi.
Thanks, Chair. Let me welcome the presentation that is really giving us an insight of what is happening in the area. And to thank for the right chance because we were so fortunate. When we started the committee, we went to their physical offices to have a presentation and understand what is happening. My first question has already been correctly captured by Honourable in relation to the mortality rate. I'm interested in the challenges, right from the remarks by the DM when dealing with our role and how we can assist people in the ground when it comes to the delivery. If I can take you to the slides where we are doing challenges. Last part one, I quote, consultation and responses to requests for information from other national, provincial, and local levels of government takes longer than expected, impacting on delivery. Those quote. We are from various provinces, as we introduced ourselves. I'm from Mpumalanga. If I check this very useful booklet and check about Mpumalanga, you have mega here. And as the person who's coming from Mpumalanga, what is here in 2010 is not what is in Mpumalanga. Immediately after the election, mega was structured differently after the state of the province addressed by the premier. And when you're talking about mega, we are talking about the merger of Mpumalanga Agriculture Development Corporation, Mpumalanga Housing Finance Corporation, Mpumalanga Growth Agency, and it's still mega, but it's not one here. So, linked to the challenges, how do we deal with this situation so that at the end of the day, whatever that we can have will reflect the correct situation on the ground, because I imagine a person who can get this booklet in 2010 and go through it, I'll understand if it's 2009, then that might be something else that maybe it was compiled when it was still like that. But now, whether the department is being given information from the province that is wrong, or you just go to the website, because I happened yesterday, after going through the presentation that I'm going to give you today, to take it further and try to get the understanding about what is here. And I went even to the website to check. You'll find that even the website is still reflecting the situation of what was happening some 3 or 4 years back when it was done. But the current situation is different. And a person who is interested in going there to do something cannot be assisted. So I'm posing it not only to the presenter, but to even yourself, DM, that how can we make sure that whatever information that you are getting from the provinces is really assisting in terms of being up to date? Because if it's not up to date, then it has got the potential of taking us back. Thanks, Chairperson.
Honorable Liz.
Chairman, yeah, the Deputy Minister quite rightly points out the skewing of expenditure for overheads rather than service delivery, and both honourable members speaking ahead of me have mentioned that. And then the point really is we want to now institute a whole lot of more structures which are going to consume even more funds
and I think the points have already been made, that there are other institutions which could carry out those functions without setting up new institutions. I mean, the 88% failure rate really should be sending us a message, I think, that cooperatives just don't work. Cooperatives are an ideological thing which don't fall in line with individuals who want to make a go for themselves, as opposed to with a group of people who have different levels of commitment to this thing. And ultimately, that's where all the conflict that we hear about comes from. And inevitably, they fail. So even the 2,644, which are still operational, may well be last year's cooperatives, which in their turn will fail. We don't know. Very few will survive the long haul because of the nature of cooperatives. If one looks at successful cooperatives, it's where individuals who are working for themselves cooperate in terms of buying power, in terms of other issues like that, but they work for themselves as opposed to working for a group who put different amounts of effort into it. And so you'll see that, you know, the question, the figure is given on slide 16 that are, you know, quite impressive. 1,555 jobs were created, but it cost 386,000 rand to create each of those jobs, just in terms of this particular financial contribution. One's not told how much is put in to those projects from provinces, from municipalities, and what the real cost, including the overheads of the salaries and wages we're talking about, what was the real cost of creating those 1,555 jobs? And should that money then not have been put into other programs of real economic growth, where people could have got jobs which are sustainable? Chairman, I'm curious about this comment about taxation. I'd like to know what is the recommendation that's been put to National Treasury regarding taxation of cooperatives. If we could get some more information, please, on that. Now, on this slide's not numbered, I assume it's slide 11. There's an impressive figure of 12 billion rand, I'm not sure over which period this is, whether it's a year or 10 years or 5 years, but for 2005-09 seems to be what the figures are talking to mostly. How much of that 12.2 billion came out of government, and how much was in the open market? In other words, where the cooperatives were competing in the market, how much of that 12 billion came from that kind of operation, and how much was from protected business from government? I'm sorry, I've got notes as I go. The fourth man is done. There was another one, I think. If you'll be patient. This is said somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but I would have expected an official of the department to get it right. So just take it from whence it comes. I'm saying it with a smile on my face. They are not, I think it's slide, not numbered, slide 37, I think. There are no tiers of government, there are spheres of government. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, I just want to add these questions. The Honorable DM has given a good, you know, introduction and almost covered everything. My first comment would be on the issue of turnaround time. You know, it would take a long time to take a decision. Outside the example of the very same thing from 2001 just to 2007 that we're able to finalize this issue, so the turnaround time. So I'd also check the turnaround time, whether they are contributing towards, whether you say mortality rate or failure or non-functioning of the co-ops. If the co-ops make an application, what's the turnaround time? Because when they start, they might be on a high note. But then due to the turnaround time, by the time they get the response, they get something, then it has all died out, or that market has sort of, you know, died down. The issue of the 12% average has been clearly covered, that we need to admit that the co-ops haven't been, you know, assisting us. One issue there was, I noted on slide 18, was that there was nothing on co-ops from the financial year 2006-2007. Why? You know, there's just a gap. Talks about the 2005, then it jumps to 2008, which means in that year there was just nothing on co-ops. Also on slide 15, I just want to hear it loud and clear whether the service provider that is talked about is a consultant. It's another word for the consultant. If it is a consultant, why? Because we should have amassed so much experience amongst the department that we could do these things. Why would you really need a consultant? The other question would be on the, I didn't write on which slide is this, but there are 32 FSCs that utilize 41 million and 40 FSCs that use 10 million. How do you reconcile that? I'll change the slide, but I'm sure you'll get it. If you can get 32 that can use, if you can get 40 that can use 10 million, why would you have 32 that would use 41 million? I said I'll check. I also didn't write the slide. I'll come back to it. I'll indicate. But then on slide 20, it should be between slide 20, 19 or 18.
Slide
17. 17. Okay. So it's slide 17. On slide 20, once more, 207, 208, there's no support. Oh, nothing was said. Why? Which means there was nothing just on co-ops. And lastly, can we get some more information, even though it is with Treasury, about the cooperative bank's registration, and actually get some assistance, because we'd want these things to roll out, most especially in our rural communities, as quickly as possible. Thank you, Deputy Minister.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Babu Mguni, mortality rate. This is a big challenge. When looking at the statistics, you look at the number of cooperatives that are registered and the number of dead cooperatives, which range along 19,386. You ask yourself a question, why? Why this big difference? You recall that in the past, we just went to the communities, tell them that there were incentives, tell them to group them together so that they can register for a co-op, assisted them after they have registered. But in reality, there was no scrutiny whether the people that are coming together are all business-minded people. It was just a number of people grouped together, told what to do. They grouped themselves together, registered the cooperative, started working together without being given the proper training. That's point one. People were not trained on how to use the finances that they were getting. People were not trained even to say what is a cooperative, what is expected from you if you are going to form a cooperative, how to run a cooperative. This takes me back to what I usually say that, and also maybe Mr. Liz. Okay, I prefer that one. This brings me back to what I usually say when I talk to people, that we need to look at what was happening in the past, even during the apartheid days. I think what I'm going to say now, you'll agree with me. When the Afrikaners took over from the British, they created cooperatives. And it was agricultural cooperatives. And I think that what they did that time should be a lesson for us. They created the OTK. They created the Fonseca, which is a big bank today, the Absa Bank. They also created Itumba. They created KWV. Yes, there are so many. They created this, and they trained their people. And the funding, they created the land bank, for instance. The land bank, which was meant for development. They created the Agricultural Credit Board, which was lending these people money at a 4% rate at that time, interest rate, if I recall well. Now, yeah, and it worked for them. Now, I'm saying, why don't we learn from the past experience and say, this has worked for this particular group of people? Why don't we use it for South Africans as a whole? Now, the mortality rate ranges from there. We simply thought people will just learn while doing their businesses, and it was wrong. So I am saying, let's change the pattern of doing things. Let's change the pattern of giving people money. Let's train the people first. That must be a precondition of lending people money. Train people first. And if you have trained them and you're satisfied that they will do justice to the money that you give them, then fund the people. And not only fund the people, but monitor, mentor the people, incubate them, so that we reduce the mortality. Those things were not there, hence we have this deep mortality rate. And if you look at what we have decided on this amendment, we are asking for an agency that will do exactly that. Not, we are not saying let's have a new agency. We have agencies. Why don't we transform the agencies that we have? For instance, transform CEDA and make CEDA what we want it to be, and say to CEDA, we want to transform you, you must be a one-stop shop where people can get everything, because CEDA is the one that is nearer to the people. I'm even answering your question, why other institutions? No, we are not saying let's create other institutions, as many institutions. We are crying foul to say that we have got too many institutions which are working inside of. How can we create more? We are saying the very ones that we are having. Let's try to change them to suit what we want to achieve. Because we want to achieve growth, want to achieve cooperatives that are alive, not the ones that are dying before even reaching 5 years. Now, we are saying this cooperative development agency, we put it within CEDA to make sure that it goes down to the people and it becomes a one-stop shop where people can then say, we can get all the information that we want so that we function properly as cooperatives. And we're also talking about the establishment of the Cooperative Academy. I think you'll agree with me, Mr. Lee, that if we don't have these people that we call the apprentices, what do you call it now? We call them in Africa?
Ambassadors.
If we don't have them, really we are not going anywhere. We need to have a situation where we train our graduates, we train our school leavers, we train our matriculants, we train our people to say, we gear them for entrepreneurship. If we don't do that, we are not going anywhere. Hence we are saying, let's have at least, instead of accrediting fly-by-night training institutions, let's have an academy which will work better than these institutions that have got different syllabuses. I don't know whether you call them syllabuses or what, but they just train at random. Let's have an academy that will be structured. Let's have an academy that everybody would know that if you go there, you come out with proper experience, you come out with proper certificates. There are so many academies, institutions that are training now with useless certificates. Now we want to say, let's coordinate that and make it a workable community. That is why we are pleading with everybody to assist us have an academy so that we can create these apprentices, so that we can create the skills that we so need to develop our country. The tribunal, we know that if we have cooperatives coming, people working together, there are always problems. There are always problems with the law, there are always problems with tax people and so on and so on. So we need a vehicle to assist. We look at where we put that, where rather than creating this many, many institutions. A cooperative council. People are talking about an apex body. An apex body, people are even gearing themselves now that we are going to register an apex body, all the money will come to us, we'll be dispersing the money. No. I am saying, if you look at the cooperative structures that we are having today, it's a pyramid something. We've got a lot of our cooperatives are right at the bottom of the pyramid. They are survivalist cooperatives. They are not cooperatives in actual sense. I'm saying, let's have this survivalist, yes, but try to make them primary cooperatives, secondary cooperatives, and tertiary cooperatives. Then out of that, have representatives that will come up here and advise me on what to do. And not only them, but have academic people, have legal people, have people with experience in cooperatives like yourselves. We have been in this game for a long time. Come on board. Advise what can be done better. Because this South Africa is ours. Not mine. It's ours. And if we make South Africa a better place to live on, all of us will have a happy life on this country of ours. Now, I was looking at just trying to put all the questions together because there was a question on finance, on finance institutions. Yes, I know that we have many finance institutions. If you look at, no, it's not today's not in today's presentation. Yesterday I was talking to some other organizations on finances. You look at the finance structure that we have. We have in our bank, and then we have in our financial institutions, you name them, ICC, NEF, Kula, SAMAF, Mafisa, Citibande. There are so many. But if you look at what they do, you find that each and everyone has got a CEO, they've got offices, they've got whatever. And then at the end, out of the budget that you are giving them, you find that about 60% of that budget goes to the running of that institution itself. A few 40% or so goes to the actual development. Now, I all of them, about 10 of them, don't talk to each other. Each one of them is doing its own thing. And if you look at all of them again, there's not... In all of them, there's no specific item that deals with cooperatives and small business. There isn't. You can look through. There is something that talks about small business. But there's nothing that is dedicated to small business in particular. So we are saying, let's look into that. If we have a cooperative bank, we know that we have got a bank that will deal with cooperatives, that will deal with small businesses, that will deal with every small person. I think you are right, Babu Shomo, when you talk about in America, we have the information. That's why you are not continuing to print that the booklet, because we want to relook at what is happening in the provinces. Now that we have provincial champions, we have a champion for each province, it's much easier than going to Google, because these things remain for a long time on our computers. But if you have a provincial champion, that is why we know that the IMECA is being restructured. We already know that, even though we haven't changed that booklet. You're very right, and I thank you very much for that. When you talk about America. On taxation, I think we're just talking about the review of that. We need to review on how we tax our cooperatives, especially the survivalists, the small ones. What is it that is entailed in that? We need to want to really look into that. And with the help of yourself and everybody, we need to put our heads together and say, what is it that we want to happen to enable our people to work properly. We're not creating more institutions, but we really need to have a cooperative bank. We really need to have this concept instead of an apex body. Because there's going to be a lot of halabaloo in APES bodies. Everybody can go and register an APES body. But we say this concept should be from the people to advise what is happening in the provinces. In Western Cape, how many cooperatives do we have? How many are alive? How many needs to be assisted? How many are going down, what can be done, those type of things, not the waiting until the cooperatives die and say, you see, it is dead. No, we're not going to work like that. The turnaround strategy. We are looking at 3 months back, because we are saying we want to cut down on the bureaucracy that is there in the department, cut down on the many, many boards. I've been looking at the lottery. There's the committee that looks into the application. There's the board that sees, look again into the application. There's another committee that asks, how many are there for? Something like that. There's a streamline of committees. It takes them more than a year to look at your application. So we are saying, let's cut down on that, and let's cut down on the big application forms. It's a lot of things that intimidate. intimidate even me. This one, the Asaba, is looking at the application form. What about an ordinary person? Now, let's cut down on that as well, so that we shorten the time, but do the right thing. Do the right thing, assist our people correctly. That's what we want to do. On consultants, we're also cutting down on that. I think the people are still using consultants as a problem. We're still using them, but those that are within the DTI, we're using quite a few from outside. If there's a special project, we're trying to cut down on that. Is there something that I forgot? Maybe you can catch our...
Just to add on to what the Deputy Minister has said, I think provinces as well as local governments and national departments, including the department ourselves, have realized that we have a challenge with information. And in order to be able to access reliable, up-to-date information is a huge challenge, because currently we rely on the provinces, we rely on the local government, we rely on our support agencies to be able to provide us with the most reliable and updated information. In the absence of a national reporting framework structure, we find that at times the information may not necessarily be broken down into the required and necessary information as required to be put into the presentation. What we have done as a result is we currently, within the cooperative unit, because in order to make any policy decision, in order to look at support programs as well as institutional programs, you need reliable data to be able to do that, as well as data that can be captured on a regular basis as well. The cooperative unit is now in the process, in partnership with our IT department, to develop a national reporting framework that would be able to capture information in a holistic perspective, as well as capture information from provinces, so that the information not only is updated, but it would be able to be accessed by whoever's looking for that information on our IT system. We're currently in the infant stages of developing that system. We're busy with providing our user needs to the IT department, and once that's completed, we will then engage with provinces to look and to ensure that their needs as well as our needs are captured, so that information that is provided to such presentations are certainly the most updated, real-time, and reliable information as well. They can be regularly updated, so that the information that gets reported as well gets reported in an informed manner. With regards to the slide relating to the 12 billion, it was actually information that we received from CIPRO. It related to the cooperatives that have complied with their financial statements. In terms of the breakdown further from the financial statements, that would require CIPRO, and I think CIPRO is aware that they would have to break it down further. But for the purposes of their reporting as well at this point, in time, all they've done is just given an aggregate total of the different sectors. What they've realized is that they would have to break it down and put further information, which they are looking at as well.
Yes,
can with regards to SAMF, the information that we received from them is what we have reported as well. The 40 million was an allocated budget, but out of that allocated 40 million, it was 18.7 million that was dispersed. With regards to missing years in terms of data requirements, what we try to do is we try to build from previous years' data on the presentations itself. And from our request to the respective agencies as well as to provinces, the information that has been provided by them, we've tried to incorporate into this presentation. But as I said, the challenge that that we have experienced, and I think the challenge even within the provinces and the challenge within the agencies is the information and information data management keeping itself. And I think this is where your assistance would also be of very, you know, utmost importance in terms of taking back to the provinces to also encourage them to be able to have these kind of systems in place so that once the national system becomes operational, it would become easier to be able to report aggregately from an economic standpoint as well as from a provincial breakdown standpoint as well.
Honorable Van Lingen, but in your next response, you'll also cover the slide 20, that there was no support for co-ops. Honorable Van Lingen,
slide
20, in your next response. Honorable Sinclair, Honorable Van Lingen, Honorable Sinclair, Honorable De Gale, and Honorable Lees, and then Honorable Adams, in that order.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't know if I'm agreeing with Ms. Joseph. I just want to say to the Honorable Deputy Minister that the co-ops that were started in those days and that have grown into the big co-ops of today employed qualified people. When I look at all the lists of co-ops and the numbers in each category and each slide and the source of funding and the amount spent, do we finally get to a budget or would we get to the total of your numbers and budget in terms of what you are in charge of? And then how many of these co-ops are community co-ops doing sustainable business at the moment, and how many are them, of them are actually paying back? On slide 12, when the young lady was doing the presentation, she said that the Cooperative Banks Agency has been established already. I just wanted to verify that.
It's in the review of the Act.
It's in the review of the Act. I think Honorable Gameri did ask how long the approvals will take. Five provinces, slide 15, have drafted their cooperative strategies and are awaiting final approval. We just need to know how long that will take. Then, interesting, on slide 19, the National Youth Development Agency has been granted 10 million rand. And they have brought, they have financed 94 youth-owned cooperatives. Are these cooperatives from the previous financial year, or is this since April this year? It says there 2006 to 2008. Is that the actual financial year, or is that And then in 2009, it says UYF disbursed 10 million to co-ops, 150 youth co-ops supported approximately 600 jobs. So, again, in this last financial year, another 10 million was disbursed. On slide number nothing. It should be 23. Sorry about that one. Honourable Minister, there you broached the subject of Department of Operative Governance and Traditional Affairs, encouraging each ward to have the LED project and products driven and led by cooperatives. Where does this funding come from? Is it from the local government, or is it function following followed by funding? Then I'm puzzled pink by the on page slide 30, the 600,000 that's been used for marketing and communications through facilitation workshops in the region. How many people were trained in the Eastern Cape? Because when I compare it with the Western Cape, it seems as though the numbers are slightly different when I compare it with the slide 33. Then the challenges. Honourable Deputy Minister, you say we must not criticise. We're not. You know, when the Department of Labour did the training for people, skills training for people in the late 80s, they used to hammer the people that did the training about having to get them to be employed somewhere or create a job for themselves. And they used to beat it up about selecting the right candidates for the training. And I'm wondering whether the selection process here is the correct one, whether the due diligence for each project is being done correctly. I don't necessarily think it's the lack of training. I think that the training is being done. But I think there's a lack of financial guidance. And there's also, when you do the due diligence, whether there's a sustainable equation worked into that one. And then, of course, the accountability measures. Where the accountability measures hidden in? And I must say, I actually agree with my colleague here who said that we mustn't create more structures because there are existing structures. We tend to create more structures to cover up for people not doing their work. And I hear you want to transform CEDA, but if you transform CEDA, it must fulfill the aspirations that you have for the various other places that you want to create. And instead of creating the academy, you spoke about Ambachskole, trade schools. Yeah. Why don't you also include in that category the youth centres that work from under the mandate of the Department of Education, but they're actually the young people that are taken from a criminal background and they're being placed in a prison, but it's not a prison, it's called a reformatory, but it's not even called a reformatory at the moment.
Technical school.
Thank you. And I think that is all for the time being. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And I was Sinclair.
Thank you. Jefferson, I think the Honourable from London used the opportunity of the time of the IDN to ask a question. But we understand that the
I remember you got so much others to
find. Yeah, we understand the happy with this marriage. Yes. Chairperson, I want to thank the minister for the approach about being practical and pragmatic about these issues and so on. We know the minister from the beginning said she's not going to sit in the office, she's going to be an operator, a guerrilla fighter for co-ops and all these other things and so on. So I think, yeah. So in terms of that spirit, I think, a lot has been said about the mortality rate and so on. They always use the cliche to say the glass half full or glass half empty. Now, you make the comparison to say it's 80% dead. 88% dead or 12% alive. then it's a sorry statement. But I think maybe your own statistics, Honourable Ministers, may be haunting. And as part of the process of having a turnaround strategy, I would suggest that you look at the statistics of the co-ops. I mean, if a co-op is dead, it's dead. So why must it still be reflected on your books? And through the process of, we know CIPRO has got its own challenges and so on, but maybe try and work to a state where you can sort of say, okay, at least there's the potential to revitalize 60% of the co-ops. Then the statistics won't, in terms of the mortality, won't be so, damning that nobody is interested in this whole concept of co-ops. So, now, Minister, contrary to the liberals around the table, I believe that co-ops is a way to go in South Africa. Many of these parties with liberal tendencies, they don't believe so, but in reality, if you look at developing countries, that is some of the building blocks of how do you revitalize the economy and so on. And thank you for putting the perspective right in terms of the history about how the imperialists took our land, money, and all those things and so on. But what, for me, it's not just about training and going to technicons and getting qualifications and all those things. There's the other element that's missing. And that element, you must remember that cooperatives is supposed to be economical, functional units. So in terms of that, you must have a product first, and you must have a market. And many of these dead cooperatives are dying because they don't have a market. Maybe they have a product, but they don't have a market. Alternatively, maybe their product is so weak that they don't have a market. So that entrepreneurship is, I think, very essential in this whole process in terms of revitalizing. Now, we've got the privilege of some people with expertise. And the Honorable Cheng is a successful businesswoman because she knows how to develop a product that is marketable.
Not the color of that.
No. to some degree, it is a problem. I mean, if I can suggest, the third issue and the last issue that I want to raise, Honourable Minister, is the issue about the commercial banks. You know, you raised the issue about DFIs and all those things and so on. But from a government perspective, I honestly believe that government must put pressure on the commercial bank to come to the table in terms of developmental finance. You know that the APSAs and the Standard Banks and all these banks, they're very quick to sign agreements with governments. But go and try and get that money. They won't release it. And up till the time that the commercial banks in South Africa come to the table to say, right, we prepare as part of our corporate social investment, invest so much money. And not sponsor the soccer or the rugby or whatever. Rather have a different approach. We're not going to assist each other in terms of the partnership that is supposed to be there between the commercial banks, government, and the entrepreneurs. So that's my three suggestions.
أنا ودي خالد. Try the one next door. أنا أروح هنا سويسرا.
Julius,
Julius. أنا أروح سويسرا كان سويسرا ماي.
I'm really happy today that Mr. Plante is giving suggestions. And I'm happy that if he can keep from this spirit, then we'll go far. I want to talk about the slide on page 32. I was looking at how Limpopo is doing. They are doing very well. They've been allocated 2,000 jobs. And the job is being sustained. And I have a request that maybe the department should talk to all the agencies to consider Limpopo. If they can give Limpopo the money, then they will take care of it. And we are having people who are really poor in Limpopo. For example, I'm from the Khale area. We're having 31 villages, more or less 18. Plus minus 18,000 people, and they don't have work. Maybe if these people, the agencies can be directed to the Khali, I believe these people will be covered because they'll have something to do. For example, we're having a project that are taking care of the orphans. They are doing agriculture, practicing agriculture, and they are even knitting, but they don't have support. The NGOs that are supporting them are not even being funded by the government. And if we were talking about developing the ones that are now functioning, I'm asking myself, what about those ones that are taking care of our people in the Khale and they're busy trying to communicate with the department so that the government should fund them? My plea is that please, maybe we should think again about them. And when I'm looking at the mortality rate, I've heard that the minister have covered everything, but we are having social development people who are taking care of the orphans in the Khali. As they find them, they monitor them, mentor them, and even help them with the budget breakdown. Maybe if the other agencies can do this, it will also help. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Khoshi has spoken. Honorable Liz.
Mr. Chairman, weddings are made in heaven, but the problem is that divorces are horrible and go on and go through the courts, and inevitably everyone gets hurt. Thank God I'm not part of a divorce. I don't know the Deputy Minister at all, but I'm quite enjoying it. I was kind of wanting to get into a quick debate there, but the sort of Westminster style. But, you know, the question of these co-ops of history, which were successful, were never based on individuals grouping themselves together and working on a project together. They were based on assisting a whole range of people to achieve their individual goals. And that I think is the essential difference between what we're trying to do today and what was successful in the past. And there's never always a good reason for something that worked in the past that should necessarily work today. But I think that's possible. So those co-ops were kind of buying co-ops, they were marketing co-ops. And that takes the point that I think the Honourable Sinclair made, or one of the members made, in terms of marketing. And that's one of the key roles that co-ops can play. But the kind of co-ops that we're talking about, this kind of charitable institution the Honourable Dikadi is talking about, that's not what co-ops are about. Co-ops are economic entities to increase the well-being, economic well-being of people involved in them. They're not charitable organisations. And therefore they should, over a very relatively short period of time, become self-sustainable and run on their own without intervention from the state. So, yeah, I agree with the Minister. There are examples from history which worked, but then why are we trying to reinvent the wheel? Why don't we do what they did then if we want to? you know, because we're all talking about debt and mortality and all the rest of it, and there are instances where we can bring the dead back to life. You know, if someone's just drowned and stopped breathing, give them mouth to mouth. And but lana ge ya kaga ge guti seisi lelanche sei anu gama jena funa seikri gama. Sorry for those of you who don't speak Zulu, but it's of no relevance. You'll catch up in due course. So yes, I accept that there are calves that have worked in history, but I really feel that what we're trying to do now is inevitably going to be a failure, and we're going to throw a lot of money at it, a lot of people resources at it, which we should be spending more constructively in terms of economic development in a liberal kind of fashion, which of course is an ideological debate which we can't have at this committee. Thank you very much for the input.
Honourable Adam.
Thank you, Chair. I see that the debate between the two opposition parties are going quite strongly. Between the divorcees and the newlyweds. But Chair, just to get back, I think the remark that Honourable Van Dingen has made to say that the corps in the past, as you call it, skilled people, I think they were really based to help the unskilled people. If you look at 1948, the corps were really established in the 1940s and 30s to help the unskilled people. So I think, I don't see a problem if the government of today moves to help the unskilled people. So, because it was done in the past, why can't it be done in the future? So, no, there's no dialogue, Chairperson. I don't think we need to go into dialogue or we need to go into debate about that. We must just put the record straight. Chair, then on the budget, I see the budget in 2008 from 2006 to 2009 was an amount of 61 million, but the budget for 2010 to 2011 is 41 million. So there's a cut in budget where I think there should be an increase in budget. So if the Deputy Minister can just ask or just give us some clarification or an answer, if the budget will be enough for her to go along and to carry and to do what she has to do in terms of this co-ops and helping and sustaining the co-ops. Chair, and then on the other hand, I want to agree with the Honourable Sinclair. It's very seldom that the ruling party agree with co-op. I think the financial institutions of today, Minister, needs to come to the table in assisting. Because our financial institutions are going abroad, and they want to assist abroad. Standard Bank goes to China. They want to assist in China. Nedbank is selling off to HSB, Hong Kong's Shanghai Bank of China, HSBC. If people form a co-op, and one or two of those directors of the co-op are blacklisted or have put judgments against them, our financial institutions are just closing the door on them and saying, sorry, we don't want to help you. We are not helping you or anything. So I think there needs to be serious engagements with these financial institutions. And then, Minister, on your trek around the country and on your roadshows, the engagement and the support that you have received from municipalities, we would like to hear about that, Chair, please. If they have received any support or any help from municipalities. Because in our municipality in the Western Cape, if people apply for assistance in terms of co-ops and that, they're just turned away and says, go to national government and apply at national government. We as municipalities haven't got that infrastructure, we haven't got that budget, we haven't got that because national government has not given us the money. So if you can just give us some lighting on that, please. Very lighting. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks. I know that most of us, even this committee, did do an oversight visit to China, and we're impressed. Most members, they're still busy with the But then what we realize is that mostly SMMEs are the key to economic development.
Yeah, yeah.
And the co-ops are not really excluded. And as part of the Deputy Minister.
Thank you, Chairperson. Some were suggestions and some were questions. On employing qualified people, that's exactly what we want to do. That is why we want to have a cooperative council to assist us to have qualified people in the council itself and down there on the cooperative pyramid sketch, to say on survivalists we need to have a qualified person to mentor the unqualified people. That's what we want. That is what we want on primary cooperatives, secondary cooperatives, as well as secondary cooperatives, to say we have qualified people here, legal people, who can advise these people, who can assist them also to learn on how to run a cooperative. That is why we want to have this advisory council, we want to have this academy, because we want skilled people to assist the unskilled. Transfer of skills to those people is vital to us. The number of people funded, these people have been already, we're now trying to transform. That is why we're coming out with a bill to say, let's look at why these people, and this number of people were funded, and this is the mortality rate. How can we change that and make it to function better for us? That is why we are saying, let's amend, maybe there are some loopholes in the Act that is there. Let's look at the Act, amend it. That's where you will come in then. In the bill on the establishment of the academy. If you discuss the bill, then you'll then be able to say, let's include this. Let's look at this part in the bill. When the bill comes back to us, it will be a bill that we can use and work with it for the success of the cooperative. That is why we are saying, let's do that. And we are going to do that together with all of you, not only the ANC people, all of us are going to be doing that. We are all going to have input on the bill, we are all going to say, if the bill if the Act is going to be like this, it's going to achieve 1, 2, 3. We are looking at a workable solution, and we are going to do that together, not only the ANC people. That's why I said I want input from you people, not only, I didn't say we mustn't, we must not criticize. If you don't criticize me, I won't grow. If you don't criticize me, I won't see my mistakes. If you don't criticize me, I won't be able to say, now I'm going astray. But if you criticize me, I'll be able to say, oh, here, this criticism is valid. Let me change. Because you criticize the person, so that person must change. And it's unfortunate if that person doesn't want to change. But I accept criticism. That will build me. I'm saying criticize me and give me something to build me. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying work with me so that you build me. I'm saying don't criticize even the right that I have done. If I've done right, give me a benefit of the doubt and an applause to say, Mantu, we have done right here. But here, you haven't done right. If you can, I think Mr. Sinclair was doing exactly, if you can do 1, 2, 3, you can be able to change South Africa into a better place to live. So that is what I want. I'm not saying don't criticize me. Criticize me,
and criticize what I'm doing if it's wrong. And you talk about what cooperatives that were supposed to be doing in all the world.
That's just the size of the number.
Okay.
With regards to the Department of Cooperative Governance, I think what their vision has been as a department is to have ward-based cooperatives. That was their initial thinking. They've now developed a concept paper to look at the development of a cooperative strategy. At this point in time, it is still a concept paper. They're working with us to look at how they can align what they want to do in terms of their institutional and support program with the Cooperatives Act. There's no dedicated budget as such for this program because it's starting out new. But what they are doing is looking at how they can have more emphasis placed at a local government level, especially at a district level, so that cooperatives can be further advanced and developed at a local government perspective.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Mr. Sandhya, for the suggestions that you are giving. The statistics that you are giving, you'll remember that you're starting from 2005. We're starting from there when these things were registered. Some are still in the books of TikTok. So we cannot ignore them because they are still there. Some are being now removed from the book. So the book is being cleaned up. So until that is complete, we cannot ignore the statistics. We must have effort until it is corrected. If the book is being cleaned, those that are totally dead are removed, and those that are, can be revived, we can say now this is the number that can be revived. This is the number that must be totally removed. Then we can say our book is clean. But for now, we must live with it. It's very painful if you look at the statistics, but we must live with it. We cannot do away with it until we are able to clean the book. And we are able to say, this is now the new picture that we're having. Now, you talk about the product, the market, and so on. When I spoke yesterday, I talked of implementation, I talked of skills development, I also talked about procurement, creating a market for the corporations. And with that one, all of you people will have to assist me. Because I'm saying we cannot create small businesses, cooperatives, that we don't support. I'm saying if we create small businesses and we create cooperatives, we need to support them. We need to say government should also procure from those small business people, from the cooperatives. If we have agricultural cooperatives, they are planting vegetables. Where do we think they must sell their vegetables? They must be able to process those, package those. Our hostages should be able to buy from them. Our correctional services, all the institutions that are cooking, should be able to buy from them. At least give us 30% of our portfolio. If you can support me on that one, I'll die a happy old woman.
A long time away.
No, I don't think so. Your life is very short, so you must make good use of your life when you are living. So I'm saying, let's create a market for our people. Let's look at what is it. Our textile industry. Why are we buying things from other countries? Why don't we say our people must? Our cooperatives must do linen for our hospitals, do correctional service clothes, do public works overalls, and so on. And buy from, even if we buy from big business, but let's give a percentage to small business to make them grow, because without the market, they are not going to grow. If everybody can support me on that one, I'm battling in the cabinet to say this must happen. And after giving my paper, I don't know whether they'll say yes or no, but it's really on the table. I'm working on that. I'm working on a market for those people, and I'm working on the project. One of the things that makes our cooperatives die is the kind of products that they produce. I'm saying we have the institutions, we have the South African Bureau of Standards. Why are they not coming into the picture and say these are the specifications, this is how the things should be, and this is the quality that we need, so that we know that the product that you are bringing up is a product that can stand the test, even when compared to products from other countries. Now, that is what I'm saying. So, I think really, 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 you are just reading my mind. And when you're talking about commercial banks, in actual fact, I've called them already to come and sit around the table. And after discussing with them, I think we'll have to come to you to say, let's discuss this. What is it that they are really doing to assist this country to develop? So not only them, even the financial agencies that are, apart from Abu Machonisa, because Abu Machonisa is something else. So we're talking about banks here and our financial intermediaries, our coolers, our IDCs. I've called them one by one. I know where they stand now, but I won't say it here. But I want them to come together now and see how do we work together. As you know that I've been traveling all the provinces, I was comfortable talking to Red Door. I was comfortable talking to Mega, talking to Itala, talking to Ipsa, talking to, you name them. All the provinces have got their own financial structures. I talked to them all, and we have financial, you know, provincial champions from the department. We have a person that liaises with the provinces. Now, that is what we've established after the visit. We have provincial champions. We know what Red Door is doing, what this one is doing, because there's this link between the two. Unfortunately, Baba, we haven't yet created a vehicle to talk to the local government people. We are saying the provinces should do that and give us the feedback via the provinces, because we will be overstretching ourselves if we go to the provinces and go to local government. Because my belief is that these three spheres should be able to disseminate information. There must be that link between the three, via the provinces. We all have a middleman. The local government should come to provinces. We should go to provinces so that we have the information that we need and we have the working relationship that we want in all the spheres of government. The budget is never enough. I've never heard of anybody saying I have enough budget.
Take them away.
So if budget issues something that really will never be will have enough of. So I think we just need to plead with Treasury always to say, give us some money, give us more money, and so on. The budget is never enough. Learning from the apartheid courts, I think really what I'm saying is that we must learn from other experiences, not only the apartheid courts. I went to Canada, I've seen the Canadian model, I've seen the Brazilian model, I've seen the Kenyan model, I've seen the Indian model, I've seen the Italian Mandragon model, and I've seen our own South African model. So I'm saying those put together, we can come out with our own new model that we can use that will assist us. But we look at the previous experience and say, this has worked in this particular area. This has worked. What is it that we can do as South Africans now in this unique South Africa of ours? And learning from the experiences of other countries. For instance, my PDG is in Brazil now to go and look at their small business funding model. And with that and the funding model that we have, we can sit down and say, what is it that we are doing wrong? What is it that they are doing right? So I think we are learning from other experiences. As we are learning from the Africana model, we don't say it was that perfect. But we are saying, let's learn from what they did and see what is it that we can change, what is it that we can take forward and use to develop our country. I hope I've done justice to everything. The budget, okay, just that.
Okay, with regard to the budget relating to the CIS funding, as I mentioned earlier, one of the challenges that we find is that information and access to the information and statistical information, between reporting of information and collating of information, there's always a time lag. So at times, there may not necessarily be information at hand, or the information may not come at a point whereby we're required to report. And what we try to do on this report is to build from previous years. So if there are gaps in the information itself, it's because we don't have the information at hand or we're not able to get it in time. This particular issue we're trying to address through the development of a national reporting system so that we are able to provide detailed information going forward. On the slide with relation to the CIS, what we tried to do, and maybe it wasn't clear enough in the slide itself, is that we try to break it down with the information that is available. The 61.1 million is what has been disbursed to date. But if you look at the previous year, the 61 million minus the balance of the other 2 years would be 13 million. So it's progressed from a 13 million to a 14.1 million to a 31 million to a 41 million. Gradually, the CIS funding has increased over time, and obviously, in totality, we try to indicate what has been spent to date in terms of budget. With regards to the slide on the strategies and the strategies of provinces being at the stages of approval, at the point of time when we were preparing this, this is where some of the provinces were at. Some of the provinces, obviously based on their own internal processes, it's difficult to actually assess a time frame itself because of the internal processes that have to be complied and completed. And this is obviously dependent within from province to province. When we do speak and engage with provinces, provinces also indicate the type of challenges that they are having in taking these particular processes forward. But nonetheless are working with the department, with our strategy unit, to be able to gain the technical advice to be able to move these processes forward as well.
Maybe lastly, I want to say to everybody here, I don't know whether there are still other questions, but I want to say to everybody, let's all of us think outside the box. And let all of us look at the drivers of the implementation, because without the drivers of implementation, we are not going anywhere. We need to have drivers, and we need to say if there are drivers, who are the passengers, and how do we drive this vehicle? And we are going to be able to have a positive impact when all of us are really geared towards driving this vehicle to where it's supposed to go to. We need to transform our country into a better country. We need to say we are able to change the lives of our poor people out there. and we are the people. No, it is in the Bible, in Esther, when Mordecai talked to Esther, he said, Esther, if you don't do it, our help, the seduce, will come from somewhere. Now, let's not wait for our help to come from somewhere. We are here, and we are here for a purpose. Let's work together. Let's make sure that what we are doing is working. Thank you,
Chairperson. Thanks very much, Honorable Deputy Minister. Those were nice, soothing, closing remarks that leave us with a huge challenge to move on, to work more harder. I'd like to officially thank the Deputy Minister, the officials from the department, and say to the Deputy Minister, thank you. When we went to China, the department also gave us a roach, and there was also MOD. They assisted us with quite a number of things. So thanks very much for that. Honorable members, ladies and gentlemen that are here, thanks for attending the meeting, and this meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I'm inviting everybody to my office. I always say to you, my office is open. If you have something to advise us on, come to the office, sit with me, let's talk. I'm somebody who believes in ideas from other people. We talk and see whether what we are saying is workable. Let's work together and let's develop the country of ours. Let's look at where the poor are, because poverty knows no color line, it knows no party line, it's poverty. You are black, you are poor, you are white, you are poor, you are. You are in Western Cape, in Mpumalanga, you are poor. Let's assist our people. They are earnestly waiting for us to assist them. Thank you, Chairperson. I'm just.
There's a nice fridge in your office, is there? It's well stocked fridge, which we can sit down.
I thought it was mine. Before you go and empty that fridge. For an announcement for next week, honorable members, the meeting we're going to have next week, we'll have it outside Parliament. We'll have it at the Rose Hotel just here outside Parliament, but you'll get the details. That is because of the number of the people that will be there. We expect the department from there, whoever is responsible, will be sent. After our oversight, we realized the financial institutions are not helping South Africans to do business in Africa and in the world. So financial institutions are coming, CTI is coming, Business Unity South Africa, NAFCOP, or what? So there's a big delegation, but you'll get these notices so that we interrogate them on how we develop Africa, because that's our priority, SADC, Africa, and then the world. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bonnet.